And I was, it's, you may know it's called Central Baptist now. Back then it was called First Bible Baptist of Winter Haven. And the services they had those days were just like you've had today. Amen? Amen. And I was asking my wife, can I come back next Sunday? but we're committed, but my, you have a wonderful spirit, and certainly God has blessed so richly. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Proverbs, number 20, Proverbs number 22, if you will. We'll stand and just read a couple of verses here. Proverbs number 22, and beginning in verse number 1. And so we're delighted tonight to be able to be in the Lord's house, and certainly appreciate so much the music, and you all have just made us feel at home, and the Holy Spirit has been here all day, and I know that without a doubt. Proverbs 22, beginning in verse number 1, and we have to recognize who's writing this book or these verses, and we would know that this is Solomon. And let me begin and preface my message tonight to say simply there's 31 books or chapters in the book of Proverbs, and every father and every family, especially the heads of the homes, ought to read this at least 3 times a year. And that's about 3 months, a chapter a day. And I want to tell you, it'll help you so tremendously in your life and certainly in your ministry of serving the Lord, and it'll be a blessing to you. So let me just encourage you, if you maybe do it all the time anyway, but I would encourage you to read the book of Proverbs at least 3 times a year, and just take a month and take every morning and read a chapter. And it'll certainly bless your life. It'll tell you how to treat your family. It'll tell you how to treat your brothers and sisters. It'll tell you how to treat those neighbors you have. It'll tell you how to have integrity, how to have honesty. All these things are involved in these passages, verses. But look with me, if you will, in Proverbs 22, verse number 1. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. And I tell you, I just about didn't make it up here tonight, because that's what you sang earlier, those very verses. And I said, how can God do that? Well, He's God, isn't He? So He prefaced our message today. I could have got up and said, well, let's go home, you know. But here it is, amen? And let me read that again. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but a simple go pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, these are all just statements, but they have such tremendous impact on the philosophy of the believer and helps him to know what the mind of God is on these matters. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he is to go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor. Boy, that's a true statement, isn't it? They got all the money. Amen. You got to go borrow from it. It's going to talk about that in just a moment. But the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant of the lender. How many credit card companies know that tonight? Amen. They know they've got you like a... We used to put a ring in the nose of our bulls to control them, or their animals to control them. And that's what that credit does. It controls you. And so the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant of the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. Now remember that. Young people, remember those guys and gals that look like they're having the fun, and they're going out on these alcoholic binges and all these activities that they do. They are headed for trouble. They look like they're having fun. They got a lot of money right now. They seem to be running around having a good time. But I'll tell you, devastation is in their path. And the Bible says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. You know, when a man gets angry, he's the loudest man in the crowd, isn't he? He sounds like he's got it all together. But in reality, the rod of his anger shall fail. You know what he's going to do? He's going to run his kids away from him. His anger is going to beat his wife down. His life is going to be miserable, and eventually he's going to be all alone. That's what the Bible says. That's the principle of the Word of God. Let me move on, and we'll stop here in just a moment. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. The word bountiful means that he knows that which is genuine and good. And he seeks that. And the Bible says that his eye that is bountiful shall be blessed. For he giveth his bread to the poor. In other words, he has an abundance from God. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Boy, how that true. We have a Christian school, and boy, if you can get that scorner out of your class, you've done a great job for the rest of the class. You know, they're not going to have anybody to hold on to. They're not going to have anybody to communicate with. And that's true in life. If you're around a scorner, you're around someone who has an attitude that disbelief in God and disbelief in oneself, then you're going to end up that he's going to cause others to fall. But if you have him out, cast out the scorner, and the contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Verse 11, I'll stop here. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Shall we pray? Father, I pray that you'll bless us tonight. And Lord, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, how relevant it is to our hearts, my heart, Lord, and my life. And Lord, how I thank you tonight for the direction and the correction of the Word of God in my life. And so, Father, I pray as we spend these moments together, I pray that you'll encourage us for this week and help us to understand that your Word is true and you never fail. It never ceases to amaze us how clear and precise and true and directive your Word is to our lives. And so, Father, bless each one that's here tonight. Bless this great church. Watch over them and supply every need. And Lord, as you speak to our hearts tonight, may we be drawn close to you, and may we be submissive to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to go back to the thought of my text here tonight in the very beginning, and we'll talk to you for just a few moments about a good name. A good name. A good name, the Bible says, is rather to be chosen than great riches. And you know, if you would look at this young man recently that was found out in Plant City who won all these literally millions of dollars, and it didn't take him long because as someone came along beside him and deceived him, and he lost it all. If you drive out through there on 60, you'll see the big house, the big strawberry farm and land behind it, and I've driven through there many, many times, and I've often thought, well, that'd be a great church place for a church out there, you know. But here this man was able to obtain that. And within less than 3 and 4 years, his body was buried on the back side of that property behind that house. You see, someone took all that he had. And you see, the Bible says that all of his riches failed to bring him genuine happiness. And you see, you have to recognize as well that this book is being written by a man of experience. You see, Solomon was a man that the Bible says was, of all men that lived, would be wiser than any man that would ever live, certainly outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's writing this book, as he's penning this book, he's far into his life. And he has seen the fruit of the labor. He's seen the fruit of all the things that happened. And if you slip back with me a few verses, a few chapters, and look with me, if you will, in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1 and verse number 12, we'll look at Solomon as he began his life. And in 2 Chronicles, notice what he says here. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. And here he's just coming upon the scene. And he's talking about his life and he's seeking out his life. But you have to also understand that Solomon had a dad, and his dad was David. David was a great man of God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. He sought out the Lord. He sought out the things of the Lord. And certainly he was not a great father, I have to say immediately. You know, he had Absalom and those men, and his family was torn. But he evidently had spent a lot of time with Solomon, because over and over you'll find him saying about a father and a son relationship. And he learned that from his own father. And certainly God had blessed David with great wisdom and great direction. And yet here his son comes along. And notice what the Bible says in verse 7. It says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon. Now, I'm telling you, folks, that'd be enough to scare me if God appeared to me one night. Amen? You know, I woke up a couple of times, and my young minister and my wife said, would you stop preaching? It'd be 1 o'clock in the morning, you know. But I woke up a couple of times, and I thought I heard the trumpet. And I looked around, and I was still in bed. And I looked over and saw my wife, and I said, what's wrong? There's something wrong here. I was dreaming about the rapture, boy. And I was kind of a little afraid there, but boy, maybe I got left, you know. I didn't want to get left. But here the Bible says that in that night God did appear unto Solomon, and he said unto him. Now, I've read the Word of God, and certainly I know that this is the Word of God, and God is speaking to me, but I've never heard the visible voice of God in my life. You know, I hunger and thirst after that. One day, I'm going to see Him, and I'm going to hear His voice, and I'm going to look at those hands, and I'm going to look into those eyes, and I'm going to see that face and recognize the genuine love that my Lord has for me. I'm going to be able to see that. And that's encouraging. But here God appeared to Solomon and said unto him, what shall I give thee? What shall I give thee? God is asking Solomon, you know, very point blank verse here, our word. He's saying to Solomon, what do you want? What can I give you? Notice. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and has made me reign in his stead. You see, David had seen all of the gathering of the soldiers. He'd seen all the battles, and he'd seen all the activity that was in his father's house. And he says, Lord, you've been good to my dad. You've been good to my father. And you've blessed me that I am now reigning in his stead. And certainly as a young man, he recognized the responsibility that lie before him. So as he began to speak to God, notice what he says. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. Listen to me carefully, moms and dads. If there's something that you can leave your children, it's not a 401k, nor is it a huge insurance policy. You may do that. That might be wonderful. I like to move next door to your children. But anyway, the reality is that David left Solomon a great heritage. That's what you ought to be seeking to do. You may not have a two dimes to rub together. But if you give your children integrity and you give them a hunger and a thirst, my Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise from God. That's a promise to my children and my grandchildren. And so the greatest thing that I can leave them is that heritage. And so he says, you've made a promise to my dad, my father. You've made a promise to me. I'm his seed. I'm his children. He says, thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, thou hast not asked for riches and wealth and honor, nor great life, nor life of thine enemies, neither hast thou asked for long life, but hast asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee have the like. Wow. You see, Solomon got it all, didn't he? He got it all. He got it all. And my friend, he got the riches. I guarantee you he got the riches. He was a wealthy man. But look what he's saying in these verses. He's saying in these verses here in the book of Proverbs, he says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. He said, I'll trade all my silver and gold for just a good name. You know what? Solomon didn't die with a good name. Amen. He had 300 concubines. Amen. Can you imagine every night him going to bed and trying to figure out his family? Man, I only have one wife. Amen. I mean, he was in tough. I see all these Old Testament people say, oh, I want to be like the Mormons. I want to have a lot of wives. Boy, poor Joseph. Jacob and all these guys that had all these people. Amen. That all brings problems and trials. Amen. And as it were, tribulation. That's why God says you need to have one wife. Amen? You need to be faithful to her. From death do you part. But he's calling upon these here about a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Oh, as we go through this passage, we see the various verses. He talks about in verse 2, the poor and the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is a maker of them all. He gives us a basis, a groundwork of knowing that all men, regardless of who they are or what stature in their life, are important to God. You see, I've never seen the people in Africa. I've never gone to the Philippines. I've never gone to Japan. I have good friends there who are missionaries, and we support them. As a matter of fact, this afternoon I had a man call me, and Brother Loomis, who was over in Zambia, because they got very sick, their family got very sick, they had to come home. And he says, Preacher, he said, Brother Nance, he said, I want you to know that I think about you almost every day in your church, how y'all helped us and blessed us there in Zambia. Hundreds and hundreds of people were saved. But I've never met those folks. But I'm telling you, they are important not only to me, but they're also important to God. He is a maker of the rich and the poor. Every person that we ever meet is a part of the work of God, the creative work of God. And if you go to Psalms 139, you'll find that God not only just reaches out and makes the universe and makes all men, but my friend, God has a personal, individual investment in the lives of every individual that's ever been born. David says, my Heavenly Father formed me in the womb. You go to Jeremiah, and you know, it just really gets me that these doctors can go into God's workshop and stop life from being born. I'm telling you, my friend, they have a strong, powerful area of judgment upon God's own hands as they stand before God someday and give an account of why they interceded on God's holy and precious work. Someone has said that probably we have aborted the greatest men that this world would ever know of. Probably many people who would have come upon the scene and cure cancer and bring great wisdom to this world, we've taken and aborted them and destroyed their lives. Why? Because they fail to recognize that every child, every soul, every person is the work of God. Then notice verse number 3, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. You know, I'm reminded here that a prudent man is one who looks to seek to abandon himself from evil. A few years ago, I'm sure most of you will know about a man by the name of Joe Redner that lives in the Tampa Bay area. Don't know how much you know about him. He is a wicked, wicked man. He is an ungodly man. He is in cahoots with the devil himself. But you know, I was down many years ago downtown, and I know many of our churches grouped together to cause some things to happen to help us place restrictions on those types of businesses. But I was down at the county meeting, and there, right in the midst of them, was Joe Redner. He was all dressed up in his suit. And we'd been praying that God would break his heart and cause him to turn around, and we still do so, I do. I don't want to see him go to hell. You know, I don't want to see any man go to hell. But I walked up, and sure enough, he was in his suits, and his girls were around, and preachers were around, and he was walking. I was walking down, and I saw him, and he was just so happy, and sure enough, he was out there talking to people, and I walked up and I grabbed him by the hand and I said, "Hello, Joe." And he said, "Man, I'm so glad you're here to help us out." And I just, he kind of pulled his hand away and I just grabbed, held on to it. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, "Joe, do you know that I've been praying for you?" Boy, you could have hit him with a brick. He took my hand and he threw it away as hard as he could. He said, "I don't need anybody praying for me." And he walked off. But some of you may know this. But Joe's wife is a prostitute. I don't know whether you know that or not. They are not living together. They're a prostitute. She's a prostitute. Joe's oldest daughter is also a prostitute. And Joe's oldest daughter has AIDS. You say, "You know that? It's in the paper several years ago." You see, Satan tricks these men into believing that money is the answer to all of their problems. But I'm simply saying to you tonight that my Bible says that God rewards the wickedness with His judgment. And I'm saying to you today that one day this man will have to stand before God and give an account for his actions, the lives that he's destroyed, the young girls that he's caused to fall into devastation and sin. But you know, the Bible says here that God is not necessarily talking about all the bad. He is saying a good name is rather to be chosen. Hallelujah, amen. That tells me that I have an ability by a man who's been created by God with a will. I have the ability to choose. Praise God, I can choose my Lord, amen. And I can reject all of this other things that are going on around me. I am a creature of choice. So here he says a good name is rather to be chosen. I'm preaching a little bit this morning to our young people. Listen, young people, remember that. Choose to do what's right. Choose to do what's right. I have a message that I preach on pornography, and I'm not trying to get all into all that tonight. But listen, love is a choice, and those things which are evil and you walk away from is a choice. Your lifestyle is a choice. It's not that you fall into this stuff or you fall into this stuff. You choose to serve God or you choose not to serve God. And you begin to need to begin now, early in life, to begin to make your choices about your future, about the direction you want to take. The discipline you have in your life is important that you begin to sustain those critical decisions of praying every day and reading your Bible every day and talking to your family about the things of the Lord and the things of God. Make those the priorities of your life. Make good music a priority of your life. It'll change your life. My Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, popularity. Yes, my friend, we need to choose. Turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 5, and you're familiar with this. This is a message that Jesus himself preached. Matthew chapter number 5. I'll take just a moment there. But in Matthew chapter number 5, notice what the scripture has to say. Matthew 5 and verse number 3. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 3. Notice what Matthew says here concerning what Jesus has said. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 3. He says here, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, and they that for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Did you notice all of these positive attributes of those who choose to serve the Lord? Verse number 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." That seems to be simple, doesn't it? But we live in a world today, there's not much mercy. There's really not much mercy in the driver's seat or in the passenger side. Where you go to a grocery store, or where you go wherever, there's not much mercy out there. You know, we need to learn as a society to be kind one to another. That's a scriptural attribute. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." That means when we allow God to use us and we begin to live our lives in that manner, then others will treat us merciful because we have been merciful. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." If you want to have God to bless you with mercy, then you be merciful to others. God will bring that about in your life. Notice what he says in verse a little bit further. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Well, what does that tell you? That tells you if there are those who are not pure in heart, they will not see the person or the power of God in their lives. And we have a society today that's just headed down the road of causing people not to have pureness in their heart. Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Notice the word there is falsely. Now, if they're telling the truth, that's one thing. Amen. But if they're talking about you and I falsely because we're serving our Lord and our Savior, my friend, we need to stay faithful to God regardless of what they say. "Rejoice," verse 12 says, "and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And so I say to you today that a good name is a precious gift from God. Number two, it's a gift that can be chosen by the recipient. We can choose a good name. We can seek that which God would seek for us to have. Number one, it's better than silver. It's better than riches. The best is loving favor. You know, I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And can you imagine as Jesus began, or the Father began to seek out a young lady, a young mother, a young one that would be the mother of his beloved son? And I'm sure his eyes roved from place to place and country to country. And I'm sure as he sought out this one, there was Mary. The Bible says in Luke 1:30, Mary was well favored by the Lord. You see, she was a prudent person. She foresaw evil. She delayed herself from evil. She turned away. She chose to serve the one, the Lord God. She chose to do that which was right in the eyes of God. And so here God sought out her life and her testimony before Him. Yes, God was well pleased with Mary. If I were to go to the Old Testament, I'd find a young man who had 11 brothers and sisters. And yet he sought out the Lord. He sought out to seek after God. And in all that he did, as his father blessed him and made a beautiful coat for him and sought out his best, he and his brother Benjamin, his brothers, the Bible says, hated him. And eventually they sold him into slavery. But the Bible tells us as Joseph went down into the city of Egypt and the country of Egypt and went down to that place where he was not welcomed. He did not know anyone. He had no family. He had no one seeking his blessing. He had no attorney. He had no one to stand up for him. He was totally enslaved. And you know what the Bible says about Joseph in chapter number 39 in verse 2 through 5. It says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You see, this young man Joseph, he had no money there. He had no, as it were, an army there to protect him. He had no national security. He had no one at his disposal. He had no one to walk out and say, listen, let me help you here. You know, I've been in the ministry a long time, and we started a couple of churches, and I'm telling you, what a wonderful thing to be able to sit in front of an auditorium, and they call you up, and this pastor, some pastor that's there, says, I know this young man and his dear wife, and they're seeking to serve the Lord, and they're wanting to start a church, and you men of God, you churches of God, need to get behind this man and help him out. Boy, what a blessing that was. We came to Brandon, Florida to start the work many years ago in the mid-70s. And it was wonderful to have people send us out. Brother Pastor Mickey Carter was our sending church in Haines City, Florida. I'd known Brother Carter for many years. Matter of fact, I was saved, as we mentioned earlier, in Winter Haven, and he was a member of that church. He was a youth pastor when I was a teenager before I went to Bible college. And it was good to have someone stand up and say, listen, I heartily recommend this couple for you to seek out their best interest. But I am telling you, in Joseph's place, there was no one to stand up for him. He heard those prisoners being beaten. He heard them crying out for their families. He saw young men and young boys in his area. I'm sure they were boys. I'm not sure if they were together, but I'm sure they were separated. And I'm sure these boys would cry out for their mother and cried to sleep every night. And there was Joseph. He knew his Lord. And he had the trust in God. The Bible tells us that God saw that this man was affected, this man Potiphar, and he sought him out because of his trust and his faith in the living God. And Joseph was not ashamed of it. He did not hide his relationship with his heavenly Father. And you see, God blessed him. And I want to encourage you tonight that a good name is to be chosen. Humility. Humility. Look back with me, if you will, in chapter 3 of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, and I promise I won't take too long here, but notice what he says in Proverbs 3 and verse number 4. Proverbs 3, 4, if you're there close by. And notice what Solomon says here in Proverbs 3 and verse 4. He says this simply, Proverbs 3 and verse number 4. He says in verse number 4, so shall thou find favor and understanding in the sight of God and what? Man. You see, I've never seen God, but boy, I've seen a lot of men, amen? I can see men and I can see their reactions. And certainly I know my Lord is real and He's spoken to me in my heart and the Word of God. But I've never touched His hand. But I am saying to you, the Bible says here, that I know that God is pleased with my life. Why? Because men are pleased with my life. And my Bible says here in this verse, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Amen. When your boss man comes by and says to you, you've done a good job. You work harder than anybody here. Did you know my Heavenly Father is pleased with that? He really is. Why? This verse says so. We need to be conscious of that. Look a little bit farther. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. I say to you today that God will bless you. Then look with me in Proverbs 15. I promise you I won't take long here. Look at verse chapter 15 and verse, just a couple of verses here. And verse number 32, Proverbs 15, 32. And I hope you'll underline these verses because these are just basic fundamental verses. Verse 32 says, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Look at verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. That's where you begin, the fear of the Lord. Now, I want you to get the latter part of the verse. And before honor is what? Humility. You know, a lot of people want to be the top dog to start off with, don't they? But my Bible tells me that God seeks us out us to have a humble spirit and a humble heart in order for Him then to exalt us and give us these things that we need for life. And humility doesn't mean that you crawl around on the dirt and bark or something like that. That's not what He's talking about here. But you have the ability to understand sometimes you might be wrong. You might not be right all the time. You have a humble spirit. You give the other person a chance to prove himself wrong before you criticize him. And I tell you, God will prove it to himself and prove it to you that he is wrong. Amen? And he'll prove it to your boss too. God has a way of doing that. That guy's getting in the teal, God will show that man that. If we'll be honest and be faithful ourselves to God and watch what God will do and pray, we might even win the man to the Lord and he might repent and bring it all back. Amen? A humble spirit has great power. That's where Joseph was. He sought the Lord. Children are a heritage of the Lord. We're to train up our children in the way of the Lord. We read that early in our verse. We're number four, not to remove the ancient landmarks. My friend, if we do not blaze a trail for righteousness and godliness, our children will never be able to stay on the road of life as they need to. That's why it's important for us to stay faithful to God. Amen? And to have a name that men and women and young people and those around us can seek out. Why? Because we've chosen a good name over great riches. We've chosen those things to be blessed. You know, one day I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord, seeing Him face to face. And you know, I want Him to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Those are the words I think all of us are looking for. And I know God is going to say that to us if we've been faithful. Let's bow our heads, could we, for just a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed, as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. And Father, help us to realize, and especially our young people here tonight, we're not here to bang them over the head or to discourage them, but Lord, help them to know how important it is to serve the Lord and have a good conscience toward God and to be faithful to their Lord and Savior. And Lord, there might be some folks here tonight that are facing some difficult times this week, maybe their home life, maybe financially. Lord, maybe in other areas of their life, they're facing hard times. And so, Father, I pray for them today. Pray that You might speak to them and help them to know that Your Word always has the correct answer. It has the ability to lead them to a place that they know little about today. But Lord, out there ahead of them, in front of them, is the very pleasures of our Lord and Savior, the comfort of His presence, and Lord, His abiding person, the Holy Spirit. And Father, help us tonight to seek Your face. And Lord, as we go to You tonight, we just ask that as we give an invitation, there might be those who would speak to You tonight and allow You to work in their hearts, that the joy of the Lord might truly be our strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.